15 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy skies this evening, a chance of rain, the low 72. Mostly sunny skies for Tuesday. A slight chance of rain and thunderstorms, the high around 92 degrees, wind gusts up to 25 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies for tomorrow night with a low of 72 degrees, winds up to 15 miles an hour. Partly sunny on Wednesday with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 90, winds up to 20 miles an hour. Good chance of rain Wednesday evening, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight with a low of 72 degrees. Mostly sunny skies Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high 88 degrees. Partly cloudy skies Thursday night with a low of 72. Looking to Friday, mostly sunny skies. Slight chance of rain, the high 88, around 85 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy skies. Saturday, the high around 80 degrees. Saturday night and Sunday, partly cloudy. The low around 62, the high around 80. Temperatures around the area right now, looking over at Danville. Danville and Decatur, we've got, again, in Danville, 84 degrees, Decatur, 83 degrees, 79 in Bloomington, 80 in Effingham. At Willard Airport, it's 80 degrees, and in Friends Plaza in Urbana, 82 degrees.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Meadows Edge at Clark Lindsay, a new community to be located adjacent to Meadowbrook Park on the east side of the Clark Lindsay campus. Meadows Edge will offer villa accommodations for active adults looking for condo-style homes. Learn more at clark-lindsay.com.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert. In for Chris Berube, it's 1239. Here at WIOL, we send staff members out in the community to talk with various groups about their interests and concerns. We call these meetings community conversations, and conversations have ranged from gun owners to health and nutrition professionals. Last week, the producer and host of Focus, Lindsay Moon, spoke with a group of area Muslims here at the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center. She was joined by Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows. Joining me now are both of them in the studios. Welcome, Lindsay and Jim.
Well, hello.
Hi, thanks.
So the Muslims you spoke to here in Urbana, how did they see their community?
As a very diverse one, it was really enlightening to talk with everyone about the fact that the Champaign-Urbana Mosque that's close to campus at the University of Illinois serves 17 counties in the area. It isn't just the Champaign Mosque.
We came in, actually, they invited us to come in right after Friday prayers. And let's just say the building's very full at that time, also the parking lot.
Yeah, and they said that usually on Fridays when they have those services, around 500 people that usually show up, which that's a huge turnout. I thought that was a lot of people for the size of the building, at least.
So talk a bit about some of the concerns going on here. What sort of things came out in this conversation?
Mainly concerns about the fact that a lot of the people that were a part of the community that we spoke with didn't want to be pigeonholed and just be talked about as, you know, the Muslims in the area. And they were really adamant about how diverse the community was. And there's a lot of turnover because it's a university town. There are students that come in and leave 4 years later. But in addition, there's also a lot of different views in the area. It was really interesting to hear them talk about the architecture of the mosque and how it was built specifically to look more, quote, American looking, so it doesn't look like it's from any specific part of the world. And it was really cool to listen to them talk about the fact that some of the inscriptions inside the dome are in orange and blue University of Illinois colors.
At the same time, they're noting that this is a mosque and it does fit traditional requirements for worship. For instance, the room in which prayers are held is shifted off of the city street grid so that it is facing Mecca.
Right, right. And there's a lot of rich history there that I wasn't aware of, at least before we went and spoke with some of the people that we did. For example, the Muslim Student Association at the University of Illinois is one of the oldest in the country. And actually, the Muslim Student Association, like the national organization, was founded at the University of Illinois. So that dates back to the 1950s, and the National Association was founded in the 60s. So there's been a strong Muslim community in the area for quite some time.
But there was certainly that statements being made that they are a diverse group. It ranges from immigrants, second generation immigrants, converts to Islam, African American Muslims and white Muslims. Certainly, a lot of University of Illinois students who also have that same range of diversity, because of course students come and go. That does involve a certain amount of churn in this community that you might not see in a non-college town area for an Islamic community. But at the same time, a member speaking to us told us that it also, in a way, encouraged more unity among the community. In other cities that where the Muslim communities were more settled, things might get divided, say, along ethnic grounds, so that Shia and Sunni are one nationality or another, or different ethnic groups might have their own communities, even their own mosques. Here, everybody is using, everybody for several counties around is worshiping together.
Right. And there was a graduate student who we spoke with who said that as far as the other mosques that he moved to Illinois from the East Coast. And aside from some of the other mosques that he had been involved in, it was welcoming in ways that some of the other ones that he had been a part of hadn't been. And so it seemed like that set a tone for engagement and involvement and empowerment in a way that it may not have in a different area.
And there are other religious organizations that have a significant history here. You mentioned a couple other ones that just like the group that you spoke with.
Yeah, I think that's something that's worth reminding people of is just the role, and they were pointing it out to us, the role that the University of Illinois has played in hosting student religious organizations, and that they noted that the first Catholic Newman Center. I think there had been a Newman Club someplace else beforehand, but the first Catholic Newman Center was at the U of I campus. The first Hillel Foundation facility at the U of I campus. We were looking up ourselves about the Urbana conventions. This is an Evangelical Church Missions student convention, which for years was held around here, which is apparently the reason it's called Urbana. It's no longer held at the U of I. But they still use that name for that convention, which had its roots here at the U of I.
Well, another issue that we've obviously covered before in Illinois Public Media News, you heard a lot of concerns about the community, but did you talk about how public perceptions have gone on since that they have encountered after the 9/11 attacks?
From what we heard, There have been a lot of misconceptions that have come about because of that. And I was really struck. One of the women who was there said that she wakes up every morning and has this thought where she's horrified a little bit to turn on the radio or the TV to find out that there may have been someone somewhere in the world that would have done something stupid, is what she said. Or, if there had been someone who claimed to be Muslim that had taken an extreme action because of, quote, their faith. And I just thought that was really, it displayed a concern that is a lot larger than that. And I'm not a Muslim, I had never thought about that being something that would play a role in my life that I would have to defend myself against. And, we heard several times people saying, just because something happens, in the Middle East does not mean that I'm an authority to comment about it. And so I thought that displayed a very real thing that happens.
Many in the group who spoke to us last week were talking about how they had always counted on their personal relationships with neighbors and co-workers, et cetera, in which the ways they could introduce themselves as being people who were Muslim around the community. But after the 9/11 attacks in 2001, they found more barriers. Some people spoke about it being harder to find a job after that because They were typed as Muslims, and that as being something negative.
Right. Or having one of the men used the phrase "exotic creature" to describe how some people react when they find out that he's Muslim. This was a white Muslim man who was talking about that, and I thought that was interesting too. We also heard a lot about ideas of community and what types of community. A lot of the people that were there were saying, and one of the things that he said was that everyone wanted a place where they felt welcome and accepted, but that means it's something different to everyone. And it was interesting to listen to him talk about how he had coworkers who would invite him out for drinks after work, but as a Muslim, that's not something that he does. And so that's not as welcoming as maybe it's perceived by someone else. So it was interesting to talk about the breach of culture and life choices that you make due to, like, your faith that play out differently for different people.
So what else did the Muslims we spoke with have to say about being part of the larger community?
Well, I think they wanted to be a welcoming community, and they wanted to be in a welcoming community. They wanted to be seen as someone who is a Muslim, but not someone who is defined only 100% in one way by the label Muslim. As one person said it, like he would like to be seen as an engineer and then a Muslim, and not a Muslim with a scary name that happens to be an engineer.
Right. And I think we talked a lot about identity maintenance and relationship maintenance with, you know, other people. And I think there are some bridges to be built in different places.
Certainly one of the things they did like to talk about was, I think, one of the main outreach efforts as far as charitable actions in the community from the Muslims at the Central Illinois Mosque. And that's the Avicenna Community Health Center in Midtown Champaign. It's only open two evenings a week, but it is a health clinic providing, I believe, free or low-cost medical care for the general public.
All right. Well, AM 580's Focus producer Lindsay Moon and host Jim Meadows, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Support for WILL comes from Bates Commodities, AgriGold, The Andersons, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, Strategic Farm Marketing, and Farm Credit Services. Thanks to these businesses for their support of WILL agricultural programs.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 24th of June, 2013. It's the birthday of St. John of the Cross, born in Spain in 1542. He's the patron saint of mystics, contemplatives, and Spanish poets. Along with St. Teresa of Avila, he worked to reform the Carmelite order. Then, after he was arrested for his attempts at church reform, he was treated brutally, given a public lashing once a week. But he wrote some of his best poetry while imprisoned. He managed to escape and continued to urge reform and to write poetry. Today he is considered one of Spain's great poets, with poems like Spiritual Canticle and Dark Night of the Soul. It's the birthday of the essayist and short story writer Ambrose Bierce, born near Horse Cave Creek, Ohio. He became the second person in his county to volunteer for the Union Army at the outbreak of the Civil War. And he wrote bleak stories about the Civil War, his most famous being An Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, about a spy condemned to die by hanging, only to escape when the rope snaps. He runs through the forest, evades enemy gunfire, and eventually finds his way back home. There he is, about to embrace his wife, when he feels a blow on his neck, which is, of course, the noose. It turns out the whole escape was a daydream which took place in the split second before his death. And it's the birthday of Stephen Dunn, born in Forest Hills, New York in 1939. He published more than 10 books of poetry before his collection, Different Hours, won the Pulitzer Prize in 2001. Dunn found a job as a brochure writer for Nabisco, and for the next 7 years he rose through the ranks of the corporation. He started to worry, though, that he would get stuck in a job doing something he didn't believe in, so he quit, moved to Spain with his wife, and started to write poetry. Stephen Dunn, who said, "It would be a lie to say I must choose between happiness and art. I can live with many things. just to admit that I've been married for 35 years means that I've experienced joy and diminution and quiet evenings and tumultuous evenings and betrayal and dishonesty and tenderness and withholdings and forgiveness and cowardice and boredom and friendship. And here's a poem by Stephen Dunn on the death of a colleague. She taught theater, so we gathered in the theater. We praised her voice, her knowledge, how good she was with Godot, and just 4 months later with Gigi. She was 50, the problem in the liver. Each of us recalled an incident in which she'd been kind or witty. I told about being unable to speak from my diaphragm and how she made me lie down, placed her hand where the failure was, and showed me how to breathe. But afterwards, I could only do it when I lay down, and that became a joke between us, and I told it as my offering to the audience. I was on stage, and I heard myself wishing to be impressive. Someone else spoke of her cats, and no one spoke of her face or the last few